Welcome back to your Healing Buddy podcast with your host, Adina Godet. I am a licensed psychotherapist who enjoys having conversations all about the different areas of mental health. I pray that from every episode, someone takes at least one nugget and is able to apply it to their personal life. Thank you so much for tuning in. Enjoy. Hey, you guys, welcome back to your Healing Buddy podcast with me, your host, Adina Godet. Thank you so much for tuning in to every week's episode. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe, especially if you resonate with anything that we talk about in any episode. Of course, the main goal is to make sure that something is stuck with you and you can get any type of nuggets that you can, again, apply to your own life, okay? So thank you for tuning in. I have a special guest here today, my cousin, Quintea Lockhart. Thank you for joining me today. You ready?
Yes.
All right. Can you introduce yourself and let the people know who you are, what you do?
So, like she said, my name is Quintea Lockhart. I am 23 years old and I attend Bennett College in Greensboro, North Carolina, an all-women's HBCU.
Okay. Yes. Bennett College.
Bennett Bills. Do it well.
Okay. She rep her college. Okay. Do you hear
BC?
Me? She said, Bennett Bills. Do it well. Okay. Well, thank you again for coming and to joining me today, because I know you have a story as well.
Yes, I do.
Okay. So let us know what you do in the community, because you are very active.
Yes. So I'm a part of a church, Dominion Church in Greensboro. Okay. And I also do campus ministry at Bennett College. So that's currently what I'm doing. I'm involved in a whole bunch of other things. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's my main thing that I do.
Okay, good. So how did you get into ministry? And also, do you feel like it is a lot to be doing both? Like obviously you go to church outside, mm-hmm. but to do campus ministry and to also be involved in a part of it, do you feel like that's a lot of work at times, especially being in college?
Yes, it is. It is a lot of work. It can be a lot, especially when you are discipling people mm-hmm. and you're talking to people, telling them about the gospel, of course, mm-hmm. you know, trying to bring younger people in, mm-hmm. but also, you know, not compromising what your beliefs and what you say, because right. it's a lot of controversy around a lot of things. Mm-hmm. So it definitely is, it definitely gets hard at times, but mm-hmm. with God, like, I can get through it all. And I get through it all every time, day by day, week by week, oh. month by month, year by year.
Okay.
So yeah, that's what I can say about that part. You had asked another question too.
How did you get into ministry in general? Because I mean, with you being 23, you being very young, a lot mm-hmm. of people are still struggling when it comes to God, faith, religion, spirituality. So how did you get into being a leader and a helper, you know, in campus ministries?
So I can bring this all the way back to the first institution I was at was North Carolina A&T State University. Mm-hmm. And when I was there, I had ended up having to take a year off mm-hmm. the COVID year because I didn't do so well in class. So mm-hmm. then I took a year off and I just did not, that year that I was out of school, I did not like how my life was going mm. at all. I didn't like how it was going at all.
Okay.
I was, you know, doing what young people do.
And what is that?
You know, drinking, mm-hmm. going out, just doing a lot, just feeling like my life wasn't worth anything.
So can I ask you?
Yeah.
Do you feel like it was more so, well, obviously you might not have been very focused like in that time, right? Mm-hmm. Like you said, you were partying, drinking, okay, doing everything. And of course you were out the house. So, you know, a lot mm-hmm. of people do that when they get out the house.
Right.
So you weren't necessarily focused, but do you feel like it was something deep and internal as well? Like not just, oh, doing what everybody else is doing, but do you feel like it was something that was going on with you internally that also made you kind of do that stuff or maybe hit rock bottom at that time?
Yeah. So I want to say, I dealt with a lot of anxiety and depression around that time as well. Mm-hmm. And I think it was kind of functional at times too, okay. because I was like at a job and, mm-hmm. you know, I was working and being normal. But then once I figured out, not even figured out, once I noticed I was doing a routine of things, I'm like, this is not where I want my life to be at.
Okay.
Like, this is not where I want my life to be at. Mm-hmm. And then also around that time, mm-hmm. I was with a guy. Mm-hmm. I was in a relationship with him. Mm-hmm. And the relationship, you know, it was on and off at times. But I know one time it was off. I was just doing a lot of things that I wasn't proud of. Mm-hmm. I was doing a lot of things I just wasn't proud of mm-hmm. as a young woman
right.
at that. And back then, I'm looking back because, you know, people around you and social media influence you so much. So the stuff that I was doing, people were, you know, like, oh, you know, it's okay, girl. Right. Like, it's okay. You do what you want to do.
Right.
He did what he wanted. You do what you want to do. And it's like, no, because I didn't love myself. I didn't love myself when I was doing
those things. That.
And I didn't know that at the time. You're
yes.
right.
And so even thinking yes. about, like you said, social media, and in our world right now, social media is so like trendy. Whatever's trendy is, you know, what everybody's going to do because you see it so much. Whatever you're intaking, whatever yes. you're listening to, whatever you're watching, you know, it's sometimes like we say, okay, it's not necessarily going to influence you, but sooner or later, it's going to be your thoughts, you know?
It does.
And also, I'm glad you said that, you know, other people too, like, that were probably around you. Again, and that's why I said, like, when you're around other young people, because mm-hmm. that's your age,
right.
when you're around other young people, they might not be where you're at in your journey. So that could be even harder yes. to, you know, resist temptation and to be like, do I really want to do this just because everybody else is doing it, you know, or right. to fit in, or even if it's not to fit in, just because, okay, it's acceptable. It's acceptable mm-hmm. and it's tolerable. And nobody's going to really say, well, girl, if that's not what you want, you know, do what you want to do and also do what God wants you to
yes.
do. Right.
And I can say around that time, I probably, I won't say I didn't have good friends, but they were lost too. So we was a blind leading the blind because
okay, birds of a feather at that point
flocking together. Okay. Like it's nothing against my friends or anything,
not.
But around that time it was just a lot because, you know, and they was doing young college stuff, but like,
right.
we were all doing what people do in college,
right?
And then
but you just felt like
yeah, I started to feel different because mm-hmm. I remember seeing this post on Instagram mm-hmm. and a girl was saying, you know, I'm God's favorite and da-da-da. And I'm like, dang, I'm trying to see what that like. I'm trying to see what that feel like. What that feel like.
God.
So I remember it was, I forgot what year it was, but it was, I think it was going into 2022. Like
okay.
it was 2021 going into 2022.
Okay.
Cause that last new year, I was drunk. I was calling a man that didn't even love me. Like mm-hmm. it was not giving. So
yeah, just seeking the comfort and care and love
in the wrong place. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, you know, mentally I just was not okay that whole year. Like mentally I just was not good. And I remember sitting on my toilet.
That's when you know it's low.
You know, when you're on the floor, when you're in the shower. I ain't going to no party. I ain't going to no New Year's party or nothing. Mm-hmm. I said, Lord, I was just praying about a whole bunch of stuff. I was just like, Lord, like, I don't like the way my life is going.
I
need you to come in and fix this. I need you to come in and do this. I need a better life.
Mm.
Like I want a better life.
That's good.
And then it was, it went into the summertime. You know, God was moving a little, I thought at the time God was moving a little slow. I was like, I'm getting frustrated. I'm like, even the guy that I was with at the time, I remember telling him vividly, like, you know, like I prayed about it and I just feel like God's not doing nothing. And, and at the time he was being encouraging, you know, doing all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so I was like, you know, yeah, whatever.
So you're not working hard enough.
Yeah. So then something had happened that summertime and, you know, God ended up providing for me.
Good.
And then I was just like, okay. God, real for real. Okay. Because
mm-hmm. it was random.
It was
that you weren't expecting it.
I wasn't expecting it. Mm-hmm. Like I got on my knees and prayed and it happened the next day.
Woo. He may not come when you want him, but he's going to be there right on time.
And so that happened. And then, and at this time I was still in the relationship.
Okay.
So, and I remember, like, throughout that year, too, I was praying about the relationship. I was like, Lord, you know,
mm-hmm.
This is the person for me. Like, you know, mm-hmm. like, just let it happen. If
right.
it's not, like, da-da-da. But I don't know. Some stuff had ended up happening
okay.
in the relationship.
Okay.
The person I was with at the time, he did have a kid on the way.
Okay.
But I want to say it's not. Well, I'll go deeper into that.
You need to explain.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
And I decided to stay with him.
Okay. That was
yes.
your decision.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that was my decision. I decided to stay with him. And because when the situation happened, we weren't together. And then
that was one of the off.
That was one of the mm-hmm. off situations. But mm-hmm. then, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so, the kid was already born. I'm sorry, y'all. The kid was already born.
At this time.
Yeah, at this time.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I remember something had ended up happening between me and the baby mother, mm-hmm. like on Twitter. It was y'all was embarrassing, and I'm telling
not
y'all,
embarrassing.
I'm telling y'all, it was so embarrassing. It was so embarrassing.
It's your story now.
It's
that's
my
okay.
Story. It's my story, but no, at the time though, no. I thank her now for what she did on Twitter, because if she would have never said what she said on Twitter, mm-hmm. I would have probably still been with him or been with him even longer than I was.
And that was God's
and
protection.
Exactly. And I thank God for that. I thank God for her. I don't mm-hmm. know where she's at, but I truly do, because mm-hmm. if she would have never been acting crazy on Twitter, mm-hmm. then I would have probably still been with him.
Yeah, because you wouldn't have said, I this is not a breaking point for me. Yes. Like, because everything else, you were like, you know what? I'll tolerate it. I'll accept it.
Yeah. And it also reminds me of that scripture, Genesis chapter 50, I forgot the verse, but it says, what the enemy meant for evil, God would turn it for good. And that that scripture, mm-hmm. that situation was that scripture literally manifesting itself and coming to life. Because, mm-hmm. again, if that would have never happened, right. I probably would have stayed in that relationship even longer. Mm-hmm. And it would have just been something toxic. Mm-hmm. And I'll say at the time, I could have blamed everything on him, but it was me. In some situations, it was me too, you know? Mm-hmm. I was young back then. Yep. I was doing stuff that I probably shouldn't have been doing, mm-hmm. saying things I probably shouldn't have been saying.
Right.
And at the time, like, that's just what it was. And mm-hmm. I grew so much from that.
Right.
But yeah, and mentally, everybody, I don't know if everybody knows. I pray y'all don't. But going through a heartbreak mentally, that is, this is another time when I knew what I needed God and I got on my knees and prayed.
Mm-hmm.
Because, it got to a point where after the breakup had happened, I was not eating. I don't think I ate.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't eat for like a week. Like I ate little,
right.
little stuff,
mm-hmm.
but I could not eat. I was right. throwing up,
water, I was throwing like up liquid.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I was throwing up the acid mm-hmm. in my stomach. Like I was like, that's how bad
yeah.
it was. Mm-hmm. It was sickening. And yeah. I'm like, God was the only person at that time. And that's why I love sharing my story, my testimony about God, because at the time, mm-hmm. like he was the only person that could heal me
right.
and make me feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And he also needed me to get out of that relationship so I can be
fulfill
free and I could, yes, fulfill my purpose mm-hmm. in life.
Mm-hmm.
And now I know that's, you know, yeah. that's what happened, because I'm thinking like, Lord, you could already sent me to be in college. I could have avoided all of this, but no, he needed me to have that testimony. He mm-hmm. needed me to have that time.
Right.
And that's one thing about God. Like he's not a God of force. He doesn't right. force us.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't force himself upon us. So he might allow some situations to happen so you can, you know, I need the God.
Like, get me off the list. Get me off the strong soldier list. Right.
Yes. But, I don't regret it. Even to this day, yeah. I don't regret my testimony. And I know down the line and even now, it helps young girls out, especially right. With being in a situation or being in a relationship with somebody that,
mm-hmm.
you know, it wasn't forever for you, wasn't right. your person.
Right.
So.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's, mm-hmm. ooh, especially in the midnight hour, like you said, throwing up, you know, and not eating. It's like, you know, you're at a point where you're like, I really need God at that point, you know?
And I have another thing to say, and this is we'll go in how I got to Dominion Church. I remember one night I was crying and I was like, Lord, like, I need you. Like, I'm heartbroken. These are my words. I'm telling the Lord I'm heartbroken. I'm telling the Lord I'm not doing good. I'm not doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember one of my friends at Bennett, she ended up posting her church, which was the main church. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna go to the church or whatever, right. you know, I'm gonna go. And so I end up going to the church, and I remember I was sitting down, I was sitting by myself, and you know, I was paying attention to the Lord, because at this time I was striving for, I wanted the Lord right. so bad. I didn't let nothing mm-hmm. get in the way. It was to the point I was praying every day, sermons and everything. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I need to find a church home. And so I went to the main church, and I remember I was sitting down. And I came in there, and then my pastor, she looks at me and she points me out, and she's like, "You come here to the altar." And I've been in church when I was little, but I was not used to something like that. You know, like I was used to, you know, what I knew church to be right. from, you know,
AMB
when
dying.
I used to go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know? So, she's like, "You come here." And I was like, okay, you know, I'm going to come. I went up there, and I remember she was praying over me, and she said these words. She said, God told me to tell you he's going to heal your broken heart. I said, ooh. I said,
you said Jesus.
Y'all, I was in there boohooing because I was like, I was just crying about this last night that my heart was broken. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she said that. So I'm just like, hold on.
Yeah. God was trying to show you I'm here to comfort you.
Yes, like he's here and he's not leaving me and he's never going to leave me. That's what God was doing. That's what God was showing me. And I'm just forever grateful. And, you know, even though that heartbreak was hard, that really was the catalyst for my relationship with God.
Yes.
But I also know that he always had a plan for me. Even when I was not looking towards him, trusting him, he always had a plan for me. Even when I was turning to other things and not him, he still had a plan for me.
Right.
You know, so. And that's why, again, I push young people so hard to get a relationship with God so much. Kind of when people go to college, they're like, oh, yeah, you know, go to your first party to have fun. It's your freshman year. And I'm like, no, find you the nearest Bible school. Find you the nearest church because you gonna need it. And that's another thing I want to remind young people. It doesn't happen overnight. It's not something that happens overnight.
Right.
You know, a lot of new people look at me and they're like, you know, like, I want to be like you and And I'm like, if y'all would have knew me a year ago. If y'all would have known me 2 years ago. This was not me.
And like, that's why God had to take you through everything you went through. Because imagine those same people coming to you saying, oh, I want to be like you. And then they look at it as like impossible because you came perfect. Right?
Right.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, so when you did that and you went to church, you got prayed over. And again, you got that confirmation from God. Is that how you got into, you know, the ministry? Or did you just continue going to the church for a little bit, seeing how everything went? And then, you know.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I continue going to the church, and then I ended up becoming a member of the church of Dominion Church in Greensboro. And then school was going, and I end up, you know, because at the time when I first got to Bennett, I didn't know it was other believers even there. So I was just, you know, by myself. But one thing about me, I never compromised. I stood on that firm foundation of God, of me wanting God. And I would, it doesn't matter if anybody didn't believe God around me. It didn't matter if anybody didn't. I was, you know, I was promoting God everywhere I go. Like, cause God got me here, y'all. God got me here. So I'm going to stand on that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, other girls end up seeing that, and other girls just end up coming to me like, oh, you know, are you a believer? Or they'll just ask for advice. So then I end up bringing girls to church, like car packed. Like, I have a 2014 Kia Sorento. So
how many seats that got?
It got 1, 2, 3. It got 4 seats, but still, car
it was packed.
Yeah, it was meaning packed.
Everybody,
sometimes multiple trips. Like, I was really pulling the girls in, and it went to the point where I think it was like maybe 2 or 3 college students that were going to that church. And now it's like the whole middle section is filled with college students. And that was nothing but.
You are an innovator. God used you to bring the young people in.
Oh, yes, that was nothing but God. And also God, and it's crazy because a lot of people will say, like, you know, God confirmed things, but like, I was doing stuff first, and then that's when I found out, you know, okay, I'm an evangelist. Like, God, this is my purpose. This is one of my purposes, because he continues to reveal my purpose to me day by day. But yeah, I'll say that's how I started, you know, bringing the girls in. And then on campus, what really started the on-campus ministry, it was me and 2 other friends. So, first I started a prayer circle. I can admit a lot of girls weren't coming. Like, the first one, it was, you know, it was a little packed. And our school is smaller, so it was like 5 people. So that was packed.
You said that is packed for us.
Yeah, that's packed for us. And so, yeah, so it was the prayer circle. I started doing that. And then it got to a point where we seen how things were going on campus, and it was not good. A lot of girls there, they were dealing with, you know, anxiety, depression. And what can you do when, you know, all I had at that time was my influence,
right?
You know, and that's worked as well. But I remember me and 2 other girls, we prayed for campus every Wednesday, and we started praying for campus every single Wednesday. And then, you know, people seen that. And so now it got to the point where now staff and faculty were starting to notice me. Or I don't want you to even notice me. I won't say noticed me, but they knew like I was the person I was bringing people to church and doing right. this and doing that. Mm-hmm. And then it got to the point where, okay, I wanted to start doing more stuff for campus. Mm-hmm. And I can say, just with that influence with the students, because mm-hmm. the students talk to the faculty. So just with that influence, people mm-hmm. would see that. And then it got to the point where they were like, oh yeah, you know, Quatea, we like you, like we want you to do campus right. ministry. Oh, and so goodness. Now this year, for the school year of 2024-2025, mm-hmm. Bennett College will have campus ministry. Yay! So I am excited about that, and I am so thankful for that.
Oh my goodness. Yes. Literally visually seeing your progress from then to now. Let me ask you this. Is that something that you say a lot, your testimony to other people and to other girls and, you know, the people in the campus?
Are you talking about like from where I started from mm-hmm. or?
Yeah.
I'll say in certain, I do try to say that a lot. Mm-hmm. I won't say a lot. I do try to say that, but it depends on the person, mm-hmm. you know, because some people, they probably did grow up in church their whole right. entire life and they already know, but they still don't, you know, live for God at that point, mm-hmm. you know? So yeah. some people just need to see like that is possible. Yeah. And I always do. And I do try to bring up to another group of girls or people in general. I do try to bring up, you know, I was doing the same stuff y'all was doing mm-hmm. not that long ago. Right. So, you know, it's definitely possible. I try to bring mm-hmm. that up too, because some people will look at you and think, oh yeah, like she thinks she better than yeah. us.
But they're only looking at now.
I'm like, no, the same stuff that you was doing, mm-hmm. I was literally doing that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm not better than anybody. Mm-hmm. I still, to this day, I still make flaws, but God mm-hmm. knows that. Mm-hmm. God knows yeah. that. He even says in his word, like the righteous still mess up. The righteous still.
Every day.
We still mess up.
Every day.
Yeah.
We can even be quiet all day. Our thoughts. You thought something.
Yes. You can think something that was okay. You can think something that yep. was wrong. Mm-hmm. And that's how it is.
Yeah. And so I ask that too, because sometimes people don't say it as often. And they sometimes, I always tell God, like, I don't want to forget like the story, you know, mm-hmm. no matter how long it was ago that something traumatic may have happened to me. Mm-hmm. Yes, I don't want it to affect my future, of course, but sometimes you do have to remember so you won't go back there, you know? Because mm-hmm. let's be honest, anything that we overcome can still trigger us. Anything mm-hmm. that we overcome can still have an impact on us now. For example, people could work on their anger. They're working mm-hmm. on anger management, but you know, you get past it. You're having your coping skills. You're finally at a point where you're emotionally regulated, right? But then somebody gonna keep testing you. It's gonna be a week. Every day something gonna happen to the point where you is still in you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And the devil likes to do that when they see like some, you know, you're moving in good direction, because you know you're yes. you're leaving his great. You know, you're leaving the devil's and, like yes. hand.
And
so,
to
yeah.
bring that back to the first story, because mm-hmm. I have to say this and kind of reiterate it, but with the situation I was in that relationship, I also found out it was about a year later mm-hmm. that. The kid that was mm-hmm. you know that he had was right. wasn't his.
Lord yes, have mercy.
I found, yes, and I found that out. And again, I thank God for even me finding out a year later. Because at the time, you know, I was hot. I'm like, what? Like we did.
Right.
At the time, I was hot, but I still thank God for even finding out a year later. Because again, I was still exactly. trying to work it out. Like, oh yeah, exactly. you know,
like, it's not yours.
Yeah, yeah, it's not yours. But again, also in that time, the enemy was trying to come for me.
Right.
Like, you know, like y'all could get back together mm-hmm. and saying this and saying that.
Right.
Like just yes. bringing back old feelings, bringing back old things. Mm-hmm. Like that person was not for me.
Right. And no matter how good of the good times it was. Because I know some people who are in toxic relationships, mm-hmm. people be like, well, why you just don't leave? And I can see it from a different perspective of your mind doesn't try to tell all the negative things. It's trying to
right.
get the positive.
It's trying to be positive.
You know, like, oh, when we went to the roller skating rink, yeah. we held hands.
Well, you know, yeah, in a relationship, yeah. stuff happens, but.
Right. But no. In overall sense of it, the good did not, you know, the good definitely did not outweigh the bad. The bad outweighed the good. And, you know, mm-hmm. we have to remember that. And that's yes. why we set boundaries. That's right. why we have to set boundaries and say, okay, regardless of how I may feel later, regardless if I feel lonely later, I still have to keep this boundary for me, because I got to love myself more than I love this person.
Yes. And yeah. another thing that the enemy tries to do, and even be our own self, is unforgiveness. Mm. And unforgiveness can kill you. I heard somebody say yes. it's like making poison for somebody else and drinking or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, basically. Yes, definitely. I tell my clients this when when you're holding on to anger and you're holding on to grudges and unforgiveness, you are literally drinking poison that is for somebody else. Literally. Because yes. You're the only one feeling away. They done got past it.
Like, when I tell you,
and you're holding on to it.
I used to eat him up in my head or to my friends. I used to eat him up real bad. But I remember one time, you know, God was getting on me. And he turned me to a scripture in Matthew. Mm-hmm. And it was basically saying, like, you know, it was talking about reconciling. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. I tried to reconcile the situation. But it got to the point, even after that, I still was talking bad about this man. Like, I was still so hurt about the situation. Yeah. Like, I was still. And there's so many things that even happened in between. But if I could tell the story, we're going to be here all day. We don't got all day. But it's so much things that even happened even between that. Mm-hmm. And I was literally, like, continuing to hurt myself, blocking my blessings because I was not forgiving this person.
Right.
And I can, like, confidently say, like, he's forgiven. Like, I forgive him. Mm-hmm. And even though at that time it did hurt, he was a part of the story, mm-hmm. you know, to get me to where God needed me to be.
Right.
So mm-hmm. I think people also need to look at things as, when they look in the past, mm-hmm. like, yes, we're called to look ahead and not mm-hmm. look back. Mm-hmm. But also, we need to also remember that, you know, don't let the stuff in the past keep bringing us back, because that's exactly what I was doing.
Yes.
Every time mm-hmm. I had that thought, every time I thought about him and just wanted to say this, do this to him, I kept bringing myself back into a place where I'm not supposed to be at anymore.
Right.
And also, you know, God has some amazing things ahead for you. Like,
exactly.
Don't keep looking back.
Don't let it affect your future. I think that's the thing. You can always look back to reflect. Because sometimes, again, like I said, sometimes you'll be like, why am I even feeling away presently?
Yes.
Because of, you know, so look back to reflect and see what you need to do differently. But yes, don't let it affect your future to where you're going back. Look back. Don't go back.
Yes, because out of that relationship and other relationships in the past as mm-hmm. well, that had me have trust issues, mm-hmm. major trust mm-hmm. issues, mm-hmm. Self-esteem issues. Because it's like, well, if he could cheat on me with her, then, you know, what's
wrong with me?
What's wrong with me? Nothing. Yeah, just what's wrong with me? Why? What's wrong with me? I did this.
Mm-hmm. I did everything right.
I cooked that clean. Right. You know, what's wrong with me? Like,
and it's nothing, and we can't internalize things that people are going to do. Because, again, like you said, if you did everything right, then obviously, you know what I'm saying? Not saying that you're perfect, but again, people do what they want to do, and we cannot project that onto ourselves. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So if he did that was because he chose it was a choice that he made, not because, Quintay didn't do this right, or Quintay didn't. No, that was something that he chose to do. Because regardless if you did everything right, that could have been a conversation then. Like, he could have said, okay, well, maybe this is what I would like in the relationship, or this, you know what I'm saying? So no, it's always a choice. Always a choice.
And just to even bring it back to God, mm-hmm. I love God, y'all, so I'm gonna bring it back to him all the time. I don't care. But just to bring it back to him, once you know your true identity mm-hmm. and what God has called you to do, I'm a child of God. Mm-hmm. God has said, I'm redeemed. Mm-hmm. He has said a lot of things. I'm saved. Mm-hmm. Once you know your true identity, stuff like that will not happen to you or happen mm-hmm. to you as often. Those thoughts will not mm-hmm. invade your head. They're not going to invade you because mm-hmm. you know your true identity. You know who you are.
Yep.
God did not. You might go through some struggles, but he didn't mean for you to stay in the struggle. He didn't mean for you to go back to the struggle. Mm-hmm. He didn't want you to, you know, mm-hmm. be in the struggle. So I just think once people know truly who they are, and I think I feel like that's a big thing, especially with the young generation. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know truly who they are.
Yeah.
The world calls you mm-hmm. a lot of things, but God calls you a child of God. He mm-hmm. calls you his masterpiece.
Yeah.
Like, God calls us his masterpiece.
Yeah.
So when you really know that, mm-hmm. you about to stop.
Nobody can tell you anything if you live in your truth. And I say that a lot. Like, nobody mm-hmm. can come to me and be like, oh, you're this mean, terrible, whatever person. I'm gonna be like, okay, that is your opinion. You know what I'm saying? But if I know that I'm a person who is caring and who is considerate and who does, you know, mm-hmm. love the Lord when it comes to things, and I try to be Christ-like. Of course, not perfect. Of course, not perfect,
but
because there are going to be things, but to do your best. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can only, the only people can hurt you with words is literally when you are believing what they're saying. Like, right. They're confirming what you're saying in your head. So again, even going back to what you said with like the confidence and the self-esteem issues, mm-hmm. right? Of course, things like that, like, oh, he went to somebody else. Okay, cool. Yes, that obviously normal. It's normal to have self-esteem issues in that moment. But we have to understand you even being with him in the first place. Like you know, like you said, being in a toxic mm-hmm. relationship, that already confirmed you in general did not see your own self-worth. So him doing that just confirmed in your head, like, oh, dang, like, maybe I'm not. Maybe right. I'm confirming in my head what I already thought about myself. So that's why it hurt as much because, again, it's going to hurt regardless, but it wouldn't be as bad as it was. Like, mm-hmm. you know, the super heartbreak and, you know, hurting you as much as it did to that severity if you already had a good self-worth. Do you know what I'm saying? So, right. yes, it would have hurt, but right. it wouldn't have been so, you know, because yeah, your self-worth was already, you know?
Right,
so,
yeah. right.
Mm-hmm. So when we think about that, we do have to think, why is this hurting me so much? We can't just put it on the other person. We have to say, yes. what do I think of myself? Right, so maybe right. that's why. So yeah.
Yes, because mm-hmm. because if we're really being honest, not saying I would go back and do this, right. I know, but if we're being honest, like as soon as I found out about the kid,
right,
that was his, not his, you mm-hmm. know, I should have left that relationship then.
Exactly.
I should have left that relationship then. Exactly. I should have said, no, I'm not doing this. Mm-hmm. I know my worth. This right. is not.
It might hurt, but right. I'm doing what I'm. Me leaving shows my worth. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Exactly. But it's gonna hurt, of course. I had to still get through it. I got to process my emotions. But if I exactly staying there is easier than leaving. It is because you don't have to mm-hmm. do as much work. Let's be honest.
Right.
You think you do because you're like, oh, well, I'm at this person and I feel type of way and I don't mm-hmm. trust them. Okay. Well, it's easier actually to stay though because it's not going to be as uncomfortable for you to leave and actually do the work.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good. I'm so happy that you have gotten out of that.
Yes.
And you
yes.
have done the work, one, of course, with God. But I think, two, going back to mental health, you said you were dealing with anxiety and depression, too. So what are some of your, like, coping skills, some things that you do to kind of help combat that, your anxiety and depression?
Coping skills, mm-hmm. what I did at the time, it was crazy because at the first time, I didn't know what I was really dealing with was anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I figured out that it was anxiety, that's another thing. Don't claim it. Everybody, yes. stop claiming it. Stop mm-hmm. claiming that you have anxiety. Because mm-hmm. it got to the point where, okay, I knew it was anxiety. And I'm like, oh, yeah, y'all, I got anxiety. I be having anxiety. Don't claim anxiety.
Like you used it as more of a
crutch. Yes. Or, you know, mm-hmm. don't claim it. A lot of people claim, and I know some things are, you know, really, you know, yeah. chemical imbalances in people's mind. But right. some people, again, we mm-hmm. have, I think this generation is normalizing all those things. We were never meant to have anxiety. We mm-hmm. were never meant to, not saying that it won't come, but we right. were never meant to, that we were never meant to have that a part of our identity,
right.
a part of us.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, you know,
something to disrupt you. It's yes, still disrupting
it's
you.
Mm-hmm. It's disruptive. It doesn't help.
Right.
So I want to say, like, that's one of the first things. Stop claiming anxiety. Yeah. Stop saying, you know, I'm just a person with anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't have to be a person with anxiety. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be yeah. a person with anxiety. And I think one of the second things I've done too was pray.
Mm-hmm.
For sure, pray. Because you know, prayer is powerful. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people think you gotta, oh, Lord, no, you don't gotta do all that.
The long ones too. The ones on your knees that grandma used to pray.
Yes, you literally just have a conversation with God. Mm-hmm. Just have a conversation with God. Yeah. Just let Him know, like, God, I'm feeling like this.
Right.
I am not okay. I right. need you. That's mm-hmm. it. That's all. And that's I promise he'll show up. Yeah. And I'll say the third thing is probably journaling.
Okay. Good.
But when I do journal, I journal to God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I do journal, but it's also good to journal because then you can look back at the stuff that, mm-hmm. you know, the stuff that you were going through at that time. Right. And then once you look back at it, you're like, if God got me through this.
Yes.
He gonna get me through this current situation that I'm in now.
Because mm-hmm.
yeah. that don't mean the anxiety won't come back. That don't mean
right.
stuff won't happen. Stuff won't come back.
Right.
But now you actually have a way of dealing with it. Mm-hmm. You have a way of
yeah.
putting your trust somewhere else and not putting the trust in yourself.
I like that.
Because when you put the trust in yourself, you
that's good.
You're bound to crumble.
Yeah, so. Oh, definitely. Definitely. Because we wishy-washy. Let's be honest.
We will wishy-washy.
God is not wishy-washy right. with us. You know, that's why sometimes what is it? They say we can't lean on our own understanding. So, because we're emotional. Like,
literally,
we're emotional.
Literally.
And, you know, so it goes back and forth with that. We will literally follow our emotions sometimes before logic. So, yes, definitely. You know, but that's good. I like that. And I want to say, too, just to pause for a second. She did say journaling. I did want to say, with anxiety in general, if you are dealing with anxiety, one of the good things is journaling, but I say it, do it in a different way too, where if you write out what you are anxious about, like what you are worrying about, what you're nervous about, what you keep doing the worst case scenario about, make sure you actually write that out. And then one, it helps you to see it, two, to get it out your head and stop ruminating. Because let's be honest, when you're having anxiety, the same thoughts ruminating, just circling, right, just circling. Exactly. And it's not coming out. So one thing you can do is actually write it out. One, it slows your thoughts down because your hand cannot as fast as your mind. Just is what it is.
Y'all, my hand be hurting when I be...
Exactly. Right? So it slows you down, like it slows your mind down. But also, write out other scenarios too, because of course in your head you're only going to think about the worst case. So now that you have written out the worst case, right now, okay, well, yeah, that could happen, but what else could happen? What are the other cases that could happen too? And sometimes it helps you to see visually, okay, let me add some logic in here. Even though yes, that's the worst case, I wrote down all these other cases, which one is most likely to happen, you know? So that can also help too. And I wanted just to say that too, just in case somebody is dealing with that as well and wants other ways to journal. So that's good, that's good. Okay. Well, let me ask this. Is there anything else that you would like to share or any advice that you would give to the young people, you know, in your age bracket?
Yes. So, number one, I would say, please, wherever you're at in your walk with God, even if you are at the fence of not even believing in him, please, 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 please give him a try. Give him another try. Give Jesus another try, call on him, call on God, and I promise you he will show up. That's number one. Okay. And I say number two, especially with younger individuals, mm-hmm. never compromise. I mean, I know at first you might not know what's right and what's wrong at first, but I promise you God will show you. And just never compromise your beliefs. Never compromise what you believe in to go out and, you know, do whatever. Just don't ever compromise, because it will get to the point where, you know, God will start revealing things to you, revealing friends, revealing places that you're in that you're not supposed to be in. And you just never want to compromise for the Lord, and you just always want to, you know, strive. And then just another thing, don't give up on your walk with God. Don't give up on your walk with God. Don't give up on your time with him. Just don't give up. Even if it seems hard, even if it seems impossible, don't give up. Because if I would have given up at the first inconvenience that there was, it wouldn't be girls that are now having a relationship with God and going to church. It just wouldn't have happened. So, you know, it's right now is the time to get it right. You know, right now is the time. If you're thinking about it, having second thoughts, like, I pray and hope that anybody who sees this, you know, they know that it's possible to get closer to God, and, you know, or just trust him to fix your life. I mean, we're never really perfectly fixed, but trust him to guide us to where we're supposed to be at. So that's what I'm gonna leave with the young people.
Good. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you so much for sharing your story, because let's be honest, sometimes that can be a vulnerable thing too, going back and, you know, going back to what it is. But I think, like you said, we got to go through the test to have the testimony. It's for somebody else. A lot of times, yes, it's for us, but it's never just for us. God doesn't make us go through things just for us.
It is for us to keep it secret.
Exactly. We got to share, because everybody going through something, even if it's not at this second, everybody has went through something and will go through something. And so your story will help many people, just like it's already helped so many young women. I'm so proud of you. Okay.
Thank you.
So, and everything, blessings to you in your upcoming campus ministry of 2024 at Venice College. Okay. I'm so happy. So yes, again, comment, like, subscribe. If anything resonated with you, if you got something from it, type it below. Like, let's have a conversation. Thank you so much for tuning into your Healing Buddy podcast.
Yes.
Next week, we have another episode. So tune in again. But I appreciate you.
All right, thank y'all.